Good evening. We are returning to the book of Mark, chapter 2 this evening. Mark 2, 23, and we're going to go through till 3:6, I guess. As human beings, we are typically creatures of habit. And we usually have a hard time dealing with change. Along with that, we usually have a set of customs or beliefs that are often repeated called traditions. Now, you may have traditions in your family revolving around the holidays. Rebecca and I have a tradition that started when we were dating. Traditionally, around Christmas, we will have a meal of chipped beef casserole for dinner, just in celebration for that time of year, and because typically it's something I can't have. Luther Rice has a tradition of starting the fall semester on Labor Day, which is something I wish they wouldn't, but they do every single year traditionally. In our faith, we have traditions as well. We observed one of them this morning, the Lord's table, which traditionally at Calvary Baptist, we observe once a month. And that comes directly from the Bible. We are non-traditional Baptists, which is our tradition. Traditions are not bad things, but a tradition should never be elevated above God or His Word. Our traditions should never be contrary to the Word of God. And that is what we are going to be looking at in Mark tonight. Mark 2, 23 through 3:6. Now it happened that he, Jesus, went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why do they do that which is unlawful on the Sabbath?" But he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests, and also gave some to those who were with him. And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath.' And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Step forward.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?' But they kept silent. And when he looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him how they might destroy him." We have been working through the book of Mark, a God-breathed account of the earthly life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark, at the end of 2 and at the beginning of 3, is talking about the traditions of man versus the commandments of God. Jesus has been calling his disciples, preaching, healing, casting out demons in his ministry. Christ spoke with an authority that they had never heard before. And Scripture tells us that the Pharisees followed him and asked him questions and watched closely what he was doing. Mark thus far has been focused on revealing Christ to us. Christ, who he is, based off of what is said about him and by the things that he has done, revealed to us in Scripture, God's revelation. Jesus is the Messiah that was prophesied about throughout the Old Testament, and Jesus is God. What we have to keep in the front of our minds here is that Jesus, in everything that he did, was without sin. A lot of pastors and commentators like to look at this portion of Scripture and say that Jesus was a rebel in that he was defying and standing up to the Pharisees. Jesus was always doing right in the eyes of God the Father. The conflict came when what he was doing ran into the man-made, unbiblical, ungodly traditions of the Pharisees. What Jesus did was contrary to what the Pharisees had built up in their system of beliefs, the traditions they had founded that dictated their behavior on the Sabbath. A real irony of this situation, when we step back and look at it, is that the religious leaders, the Pharisees, who had studied the Word of God and had supposedly separated themselves from sin to glorify God, in elevating their traditions above the Word of God, were not only doubting, but they were also judging God through the Word of God. The traditions that they held above the Word of God were using to judge God. And more than likely, they were completely unaware of that. They had elevated their traditions so far above the Word of God that they were willing to kill Jesus because of them. There's a very real warning and a very real message to believers today. If we were to distill this portion of Scripture down to a single question, it would be, what do we hold up as the standard for what we do? Is it the Word of God, or is it our traditions? At first glance, it seems like a very easy question to answer. Of course, we do everything according to Scripture. But when we really start to examine the question, when we really look at what is there, it becomes very thorny very quickly. I will give you an example. Do you know that there is no provision anywhere in Scripture for Sunday school or adult Bible fellowship? Do you know that there is, if it is not in Scripture, why do we do it every Sunday? Adult Bible fellowship and Sunday school. You might say, well, we do Sunday school because we are to train children up in the way that they should go, so that when they are older, they will not depart from it. But on the flip side of that coin, it could be argued, isn't that the responsibility of the parents? Or you might say, well, we do adult Bible fellowship because we are equipping the saints for every good work, to which we could argue, do we not get that from the pulpit? I do not think that Sunday school or ABF is a bad thing. And I'm getting a bit off topic here, but the point that I am trying to illustrate is that we have the Word of God and we have our traditions. And how they relate to one another is a lot more complicated and nuanced than it appears at first glance. Before we go any farther, let's ask for God's help as we look at His Word this evening. Heavenly Father, I thank You that we have the examples that You have given us in Your Word that we have a standard in which to hold up our traditions and our behaviors. Give us wisdom and illuminate for us areas of our lives that we elevate higher than you, higher than your word. Help us to recognize and avoid those traditions. Help us this evening in our understanding as we go through the book of Mark. We will give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus and his disciples on the Sabbath are walking through a grain field, plucking the heads of grain, separating them, and eating the grain, throwing away the chaff. The Pharisees accuse them of doing that which is unlawful according to their traditions relating to the Sabbath. And then Jesus goes into the synagogue and heals a man with a withered hand. And in my mind's eye, I see the Pharisees' jaws just hitting the ground. To the Pharisees' traditions, the actions of Jesus were tantamount to blasphemy, even though it was not. In their eyes, it was. And what do you do with a blasphemer? You stone them to death. In Genesis chapter 2, after God had created the heavens and the earth and everything on it, on the seventh day, he sanctified it and made it holy. He rested. That was the Sabbath. All throughout the Old Testament, the reader is admonished to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy. It is one of the Ten Commandments. In Exodus 20, 8 through 11, we read, "Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." To the Pharisees, the law regarding the Sabbath was well known, and the fact that it had been set aside by God and that no work was to be done upon it were well established in their minds. But see, the Pharisees had taken the Sabbath that had been sanctified by God, set aside as a day of rest and a day of reverence, and they had applied legalism to it. To the Pharisees, you were restricted on the Sabbath. You could not work or prepare a meal or walk more than a prescribed distance or to heal. You could not even spit on the ground for fear that if you did and it made a furrow in the dirt, then you had violated the law because that was considered plowing, which was work and was therefore prohibited. The more restricted you were, the more denial of self that you had displayed, proved in their minds that you were more spiritual than someone else who had not denied themselves that way. It was no longer about honoring and glorifying God, but more about honoring and glorifying themselves. To the Pharisees, on the Sabbath, you were not allowed to winnow, which is to separate the grain from the chaff, because that was work. Yet in plucking the heads of grain that Jesus and his disciples were doing, they were working. And therefore, in the minds and the eyes of the Pharisees, they were sinning because it was unlawful. But it was not unlawful. In Deuteronomy 23, 25, we read, "When you come into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the heads with your hand, but you shall not use a sickle, on your neighbor's standing grain. Jesus and his disciples were hungry. They were not stealing. They were not working on the Sabbath in the way that God had intended it to be understood. Christ, when he took on a human nature alongside his divine nature, also took upon himself human needs. He got hungry and he got tired, just as we get hungry and we get tired. It was not that they were plucking the heads of grain, because as we have seen, that was perfectly allowable. The Pharisees took issue with the fact that they were plucking heads of grain on the Sabbath, the Sabbath that had been sanctified by God. Now, is it important that we follow the will of God? And was it important that they follow the will of God regarding this? Absolutely. However, Jesus and his disciples were not violating the word of God, the will of God, or the Sabbath. What they were violating was the man-made traditions of the Pharisees that had been established in regards to that sanctified day. But he said to them in his response, "Have you never heard what David did when he was in need and hungry? He and those with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests, and also gave some to those who were with him." What Jesus is referencing is found in 1 Samuel 21, when David, on the run from Saul, comes to Nob and speaks with Ahimelech the priest in the tabernacle, saying that he and the men with him are hungry. And all that the priest had on hand was the holy bread, the showbread, the 12 loaves that represented the 12 tribes of Israel. The bread had just been taken off and replaced. By law, the only ones who were allowed to eat the bread that had been removed were the priests, and only the priests. And here is David in need. Jesus, in his answer to the Pharisees, reminds them that God had set the standard, but the priest of God recognized the need. Establishes with David that the young men have kept themselves from women, and then gives the bread to David and his men to eat. If David could violate the law of God due to need, certainly Jesus and his disciples could violate a man-made law regarding the Sabbath. Under the Pharisees' traditions, as I've said, the more restrictions, the more stipulations you placed upon yourself in regards to the Sabbath, then the more holy and godly you were. It was an incredibly oppressive system of traditions and rules. It was ungodly and it was unscriptural. And he said to them, furthermore, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus had made the Sabbath for man, and not man for the Sabbath. After the 6 days of creation, God rested on the seventh from his labors. God did not need to rest. That was done for us. It was not meant to be restrictive, but a holy day of rest. All through the book of Mark, we have seen demonstration after demonstration of who Christ is, the Son of God, and what authority he has. God has given him authority over everything, and the Sabbath was no exception. And yet here are the Pharisees essentially saying that they know better than God did. Again, in plucking the grain and in healing the man with the withered hand, Jesus did nothing wrong in the eyes of God. But in the eyes of the Pharisees, he was breaking the law of their traditions that they had established. Either consciously or unconsciously, they had raised those traditions above the Word of God. And they had raised those traditions higher than the Word of God. In Matthew, we read the account of what Jesus says just prior to healing the man with the withered hand. Then he, Jesus, said to them, "What man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value, then, is a man from a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. A man's life is much more important than a man-made law. Now, I'm not saying that we should ignore the law, but in certain circumstances, we have to evaluate what holds more value: someone's life or a man-made law. It is almost like we are walking through a park and we come across someone on the grass in need, in distress, needing assistance, and instead of going to them, we remain on the path because in front of us there is a "do not walk on the grass" sign. The Pharisees were so focused on their traditions, on the laws that they had established of what they could do and could not do, that they had lost perspective on what really mattered. God had given them the Sabbath not as a restrictive shopping list of things to do and not to do. This was a day to keep sanctified and holy for the Lord. In the book of Matthew chapter 15, the scribes and the Pharisees accuse Jesus' disciples of transgressing the tradition of the elders by not washing their hands when they eat bread. Jesus tells them that it is not what goes into someone's mouth that defiles them, but what comes out of it. Matthew 15, 1 through 9, again, talking about the traditions of man in relation to the commandments of God. "Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, 'Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread.' Jesus answered and said to them, 'Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, "Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses his father or his mother, let him be put to death." But you say, "Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God," then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus they have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesize about you, saying, "These people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." God has given us all that we need to know in His holy word. It should be the authority in our lives above all others. The Pharisees had taken their traditions and raised them above the word of God. And they were so deeply focused and involved in their traditions that they probably did not even realize what they had done. It seems to us in hindsight to be very overt, but in reality, it was probably more than likely very subtle. We need to recognize that when it comes to following God, we, myself included, have a tendency to want to make it about what we do rather than who we are in Christ. That was the problem that the Pharisees had. They had a shopping list of things to do rather than a focus on God and who they are. If you did this and not that, then you were more spiritual. But it is not a contest to see if I can be more spiritual than my neighbor. It is not a contest to show everyone that I am more spiritual than my neighbor. A more important question to ask is, how is my relationship with God? Do I belong to Him, and is it evident in my life? Am I living a life based off of the Bible and what it says, or am I living a life based off of what I want to do? Are my traditions from the Bible? Do my traditions are contrary to the Bible? Do I rank them higher than the Word of God by the priority that I put upon them? We should have nothing in our lives that is higher than God. No tradition, no obligation, no relationship, no set of behaviors or beliefs. Nothing is more important to us than God and the standard that He has set forth in His holy word. Amen. The very real problem that all of us have is that there are things in our lives that are more important than God. There are beliefs that we may zealously hold on to that have no basis in Scripture. We need to introspect on our lives to look for things that do not align with what God has given us. Ignorance of the Word of God is not an excuse. God has given us the Holy Spirit, and He has given us His word, but we would rather go our own way because we are sinners at heart. We would rather take God and His word and twist it into something that it is not, so that we can justify living our lives the way that we want to. To guard against that twisting of the word of God, to guard against elevating things above the word of God, we need to know what the word of God says, and we need to know it well. We need to hide the word of God in our hearts so that we do not sin against the God who has given us everything. God has given us salvation, and God has saved us from our sins. And we do not deserve anything that God has given to us. We need to hold everything that we do up to the Word of God. We must not deceive ourselves as the Pharisees did into thinking that something not set down by God is biblical. God cares very much about how we read His word and how we apply it to our lives. We need to take time and examine how we are living our lives. Does it align with the word of God? Are we doing everything for God's glory or for our own? We need to challenge our beliefs and our traditions and the way that we live our lives by comparing them to God's Word, the example of Jesus. This is a cautionary tale for us today. We must guard against knowingly or even unknowingly elevating anything above God. It is the times that we are away from Him, away from His Word, that we are not in proper submission to God, but we are serving ourselves just like the Pharisees did. God has given us everything that we need. If we are not with God in our relationship with Him, if we are not reading the Word of God, if we are not growing in the things of God, the fault does not lie with God, it lies with us. God is the Lord of everything, and we need to submit our lives fully to Him and to His Word and to apply it to our lives the way it was intended to be applied. And we need to hold His Word above everything. We need to hold His Word above our man-made traditions and our beliefs. If it is not biblical, if it is not from God, then it should not be more important than the things that are from God. And it should not be more important than God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You that You are the God that You are, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present. I thank You for Your Word, that we can read it and understand it and apply it to our lives. I pray in my life, in the lives of everyone here, that we will examine our lives for things that are not from You and remove them from our lives. Give us the insight through the Holy Spirit to recognize those things in our lives that we elevate higher than they should be. Let us hold You and Your Word up to the proper place. We pray all these things for Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.